Good morning. Is that working? Well, it's good to be here and good to be able to share with you this morning. So let me get my notes set up here. So for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm sure most of you know who I am, but I thought this is a good chance to get back at my dad. I've been the brunt of a lot of sermon illustrations over the years. So when my dad was younger, I've heard that a few times, when Nat was younger, and then you just kind of shrink down. And wonder what story he's going to tell. I've got a few of my own, don't worry. Let's turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. It's kind of nice that he's here. Most of the time when I preach, he's not here. So I thought maybe I should make him sweat a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see if we can get set up here. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Today, let's turn our Bibles to chapter 4. We're just going to reread that section there that we read earlier. And then we'll go from there. So it says there, starting in verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Okay, so who has, probably mostly for the men here, but who has an old shirt that they've had for too long? And this is where my dad comes into the illustration here. He's got a number of them. So anyways, see, most of you have a shirt that you've had for a long time, and you know, you put that on when you're not going out in public. Or maybe some of you guys try to wear it in public and your wife tells you, "No way. Go change." And so we all have these things. We have these pieces of clothing. Maybe it's shoes. Maybe it's an old pair of shoes that you should have gotten rid of a long time ago. But we have these things that are comfortable. And this is just not set up right here yet. Hang on a second. There, that's better, I think. Have a sound business. I know how to set up microphones. I don't know how to talk into one of them though. We have these things that are comfortable to us that we've had for a long time. We like to keep, and maybe for some of us we have them because we're too lazy to get new ones. Maybe for us guys, we don't want to go shopping. We don't really care to go through that effort of looking for a new shirt or some new shoes. Some of us just don't like change. We just, you know, we're happy with the old stuff. I think we can all relate. Sometimes we're just stuck. We're just in a habit, bad habits, or just certain ways that we do things. Have you ever given any thought to that? That the way you way you have routines in your life, the way you do things. Some of them are okay. Some of them maybe need to change. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's writing to the church there. And it's important as we look at this passage here in verse 17 and on there, is that we remember that he's writing to the church, not to individuals, although it's applicable to individuals. He's writing to the church as a body. And in the book of Ephesians, the theme is the church, and that Christ is the head of the church, and the Ephesians are part of the body. And as the body, they represent Christ. And Paul wants them to live together in unity, to love each other. He wants them to represent who Christ is. And in verse 17 to 24, we just read, he wants them to give up living the way that they did before they knew Christ. And so you might say, well, how does that apply to us? You know, I've been a Christian my whole life. My parents have raised me to love the Lord. You know, I'm a Mennonite. I live in Winkler. The Gentiles, I don't even know what that is. I'm a Mennonite. We've got everything figured out. We live the way we should live. But I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot here that we can apply to us that applies to us too. So this is written to a group of believers, the church in Ephesus, and today we'll try to apply it to us as a church as well as to us as individuals. So let's look at this section here in verses 17. It says, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And if we go back to Ephesians in chapter 2, Paul touches on this a little earlier in the book, which is good to, this isn't just a new thought here. He says, in verse 1 there, he says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And also, if we go over to Romans in chapter 1, Paul wrote the book of Romans as well, and this is kind of a parallel passage, actually, Romans 1 and Ephesians chapter 4. Some of the topic is the same. And if you look at Romans chapter 1 and you start in verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So this isn't a new concept for Paul. He's been on this. I think you can see this in a lot of the books that he's writing, talking about giving up our past way of living. This is the old man that he's talking about later on in this passage in Ephesians. Give up that old way of living. So let me get back to Ephesians. You guys go back to Ephesians there in chapter 4. And so he says, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So we should note the downward spiral of when we are not living the way that God wants us to live, having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So we can see a progression of of bad living. When we ignore God's word, we are blind, living in the dark and are lost. He says they have given themselves over to lewdness. Well, what is lewdness? Lewdness is a way of living in which we just want to satisfy our senses, to live according to things that make us feel good. Isn't that a challenge in our lives? Isn't that what our culture and our society is telling us to do? We're supposed to give up that lifestyle. So in verse 22, Paul says, put off concerning your former conduct the old self. So what is this old self? This old self, this old man. I think it's important to remember that this was written to a group of believers when we read this old self, this old man. He's not necessarily pointing out the individual, but he was talking about corporately the way that they knew to live in the past, as they saw the society and the culture that they lived in and seeing how that it was headed, that they would corporately put that way of living behind them. It has individual application, but we need to remember that it was written to the group as well, that this is something that they needed to do together. It's easy for us to try to connect this to our sin nature, and I don't think that makes it harder to understand when we look at it as our sin nature. It's a difficult thing to explain, and sometimes I think we would be better off just to say that this old way of living was our living in our sinful past. The way that we lived in the past was a sinful way of life, and Paul is challenging them to give that up. So, have you ever heard the phrase "stuck in a rut"? You ever? No, John. So yeah, have you ever used that phrase? Has anybody ever used that phrase? I feel like I'm just stuck in a rut. Or, you know what? You look like you're just stuck in a rut. Or, oftentimes when we use that phrase, it's just, we're not actually physically stuck in a rut, but we all can kind of relate to that idea. You know, maybe when you've driven your bike in a path and you can't get out of it. And sometimes when you use that in life, it gives us a good illustration of just kind of being stuck, going down something. Maybe you've said that when you felt like you wanted to change jobs but it's not something that just happened in an instant, right? It's something that usually has happened in time, right? It's taken time to get to that point where you felt that way, that, oh man, I feel like I'm just stuck in a rut. It's usually, you know, you've been in a situation for a while. And I think that's kind of how we can be with our, in our lives. We are not even aware of some of the things that we do that are not the way that God wants us to live. That's why Paul's challenging them. He's saying, you know what? The Gentiles' walk, their understanding has been darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. The blindness of their heart is affecting the way they're living. And I think we can sometimes be just like that. That's why Paul's writing this to them. He's challenging them to not live that way. This isn't something that when they became believers that it was instantly gone. This is a progression of being renewed that we can see here. If we turn over to Romans for a second, we'll go to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. So he said, this old man, if you go back to verse 6, it says, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So when he says our old man was crucified with him, obviously it wasn't their physical bodies, it was their sins had been paid for, their old way of life had been paid for on the cross. Positionally, meaning when Jesus died on the cross and we accept him, we believe in him, our sins are paid for, we have eternal life. Positionally, we have our sins have been paid for, we are living in the freedom that has been given to us by his death on the cross. So it says in verse 11, likewise, also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not sin, let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And so, I think sometimes if we think it's just a, when we read this, it's very easy to be confused. Well, the old man died. Why is he telling me about sin? If the old man has died and my body of sin has been crucified with Christ, then why is he telling me to not let sin reign in my body? Well, it's because of this. He's comparing what Christ did was he paid the penalty for our. We recognize that is what has happened. We are dead to sin. Christ has forgiven our sins and has paid the penalty for them. Okay. So, how do we put on this new man? It says in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So they had been taught. They had learned. They had heard Paul teach them, and they had heard the gospel, and they had believed. They had been taught how to understand their salvation and their life in Christ. And they needed to remember that. They needed to spend time on that. If you go over to Romans in chapter 12, it says, you know, Dad in Sunday school was all over this, and I was like, man, why doesn't he just preach this morning? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so it's this transformation. It's not an instant. It's by the Spirit of God, as Corny said earlier. It is as we spend time reflecting on what God has taught us, what God has given us, and we trust him and we depend on him for our strength, that we will put on this new man. So we need to change the way we think. No longer living the way the world does, but being imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. And then he says in verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. And I don't think that's, we're not to, exposing the darkness isn't about me going into your life and finding out what you're doing wrong. But this message is for me. I didn't write this for, or want to do this so that I could tell you all to straighten up, but you know, if there was 100 of me sitting in this crowd, I would sure hope that something would sink in through my thick skull, would get through to one of them, and that I would be able to learn. You know, sometimes it seems like this old way of living is so ingrained in the way that we do life, the way that we're affected by our society, the way that we are surrounded by ideas that aren't in line with how God would want us to live. Like we were talking about this morning, is the if we live life and we chase the feelings and the experiences, we miss out on what God really wants for us. If we give up on those things, we give our lives for the Lord, then we actually experience the life that God wants us to experience. And so yeah, we walk in the light. As we walk in the light, it exposes the darkness. It exposes the things in our lives that are not in line with what God wants. So Paul, also in this chapter, in chapter 4, he gives them some application. Verse 25, he says, and this is, remember, this is written to the church. He's written this to the church, and so that the church could represent Christ in the community, in the city of Ephesus. And he says to them, he says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So what do we need to do there? How does that apply? You know, we might not say, oh, well, I don't lie. We might say, I don't lie. Well, don't mislead people. Don't make excuses. Be a person of your word. Be honest. These things apply. We can't read over these things and say, well, that's not me. I don't struggle with any of these things. No, that's not true. I think we can all apply these things, and if we couldn't apply them, then they wouldn't be here. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You need to always settle disputes. Don't be holding bitterness towards people. Don't let that be the first thing that you think of when you think of a person is, oh man, really annoyed by that person, the way they act. But love. And if things are between you and other people, then straighten them out. Forgive. Be gracious. Don't steal. Well, stealing, that's who does that? Well, don't cheat on your taxes. It's so easy to do. Don't steal from your employer. Don't book in hours that aren't, you didn't work. Work hard. Be generous. It says here, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. We need to be examples of hard work, examples honesty and people that have integrity. Like I said, I'm not the perfect example in all these things, for sure. This needs to sink in my life as well. 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't be corrupt in speech. Don't be hateful in your talk. Don't jokingly hope for others' misfortune. Don't gossip. Don't tear each other down. Speak gracefully about people. Encourage people. Sometimes in the coffee room, the conversation can really be negative. It can be easy to complain about things that we all agree on are difficult. Things that are, if our perspective isn't right, we can be part of these conversations that are tearing people down. We need to not do that. We need to encourage people. We are representing Christ. Verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And I think that means that we need to do what we know is right. When the Holy Spirit is working on our hearts, we know where, what we need to do. We know how to live. Live by what you know is right. Don't ignore the Spirit's convicting. Don't ignore your conscience. Don't harden your heart. And it says in 31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So all these negative things have a positive answer to them. They, in all these verses, there's a negative aspect that we shouldn't do this, but do this other thing. So we need to be kind to one another, as opposed to being bitter and angry and evil speaking. We need to love each other, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. What does that mean? I don't think I'm the most tenderhearted person out there. That's for sure. I definitely. Probably am a little rough around the edges at times, and need to grow in that. Need to learn to be more soft and gracious with people. There's a lot of practical things that we can apply in this chapter, but I think it's important to remember to really look at this in verses 17 to 24 to not read over it and say, oh, well, that's how the world lives. And, you know, we don't live like that. We live in Winkler, and you know what? We don't struggle with any of these things. We live our lives according to God's word. And, well, and that's great if that's what you're seeking to do, and that's what we want to be seeking to do. But we need to recognize these areas that are of blindness in our lives and to walk in the light to expose these dark areas in our lives that we can overcome, that we can be renewed, transformed, so that we can represent Christ and be a valuable part of the body. You know, when the body has so many different parts, and you know, we all need to be doing our part. You know, if the legs want to run a race but the arms don't want to go along, then it's difficult. Recognizing that this is a work that we do together. Paul was writing to the church. It wasn't something that we do individually, although we do need to, we corporately work on this together. We walk in the light together. We learn together. That's why we come to Sunday school together. We come here on Sunday morning to grow together. We're involved in Bible studies, and we can try to encourage each other to walk close to the Lord. And then it's in our daily walk with the Lord in our personal lives to recognize the dangerous patterns in our lives, the ruts that we're stuck in, the shirt that needs to be thrown away. Recognizing that God has a new plan for us, a new way to live. We'll go over to Colossians in chapter 3. I'll just read here. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge and according to the image of him who created him. And so here he's writing the same message to the Colossians. Message didn't change. The people didn't change. They are the same, struggling with the same things, needed to hear the same message. And here he uses the same terms: old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Who created this new man? Who created the new man? Let's remember that Christ died for us and gave us eternal life that we are to experience here and now. He created this new man for us that we could live in freedom and live in becoming more like him, being imitators of him. And so, yeah, let's seek to do that this week as we walk with the Lord, that we would take time to reflect on where we're at and where we need to be. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this time in your word. We thank you that we can be led by your Spirit as we reflect on it. Help us to take that time. Help us to appreciate your love for us, Lord, your sacrifice for our sins, and the desire that you have to walk with us, Lord, that you want us to represent you, even though we are so unworthy, and that we need you every day, and we need your grace, and we need your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us the areas in our lives that need to be worked on, Lord, that we would do that, we'd be intentional about it. Lord, just thank you for each one here, and I pray that you'd go with us, and I just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.